You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's Tuesday.
It is not Monday. Yesterday was Tuesday. Monday.
You like that? Tuesday.
It's your Monday. Maybe. I don't know.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Tuesday, June 5th. Drinking some coffee this morning?
Yes, I am drinking coffee.
Every morning?
Every morning.
What's in the coffee cup today?
I think it's Honduras, but I don't remember which bag I pulled this morning, so.
Not sure.
I'm not sure. I just grabbed one.
It was dark, making the coffee.
I don't always pay attention. I got a really special one for my birthday from one of my church friends, though.
Oh, nice.
And it's like ridiculously good.
I saw the Facebook hubbub about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from a local roaster.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Excellent.
There are certain, like, there's a level of coffee that I can drink black because it's that good.
Because it's not as acidic? Is that what it is?
It just has a lot of flavor.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it is the Coffee Hour on Tuesday, June 5th. I'm Andy Bates. This is Sarah Golseth. Is that your name?
I don't know where I am. That is still my name. Do I need to sit in that chair today?
Took a day off for vacation Bible school and I'm what did it. Drained. I wasn't even there the whole day. I wasn't even there the whole day. I helped greet and make sure everybody gets to where they're supposed to be.
And,
lots of children. It was good. Speaking of children, sometimes children have unique dietary issues.
Sometimes adults do too.
We're going to take a look at that today with the help of a friend. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find them at cuw.edu, kfuo.org in the underwriters section. I think you found this particular story.
I did. One of my friends shared it on Facebook.
Because of food issues.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends with food issues.
Would you like to introduce our guest today?
Oh, yeah. It's Andrea Mockamer. And I'm really excited that she's joining us by phone today. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
She's not talking because she doesn't have the talking stick.
I don't have the talking stick. Oh, boy.
You do now.
Andrea, tell us your experiences with food allergies, your background, and what makes you an expert in this area?
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert, but I've always had stomach issues and headaches and things like that, and just thought it was just how I was. And then when my son was born, he had some other issues. We had meltdowns and sensory issues. And thankfully, my aunt wondered if it was food related. And I had always thought that food allergies were a rash or even worse. Mm-hmm. But sure enough, we took gluten out of his diet and his meltdowns lessened, his sensory issues lessened. And through the process of elimination, we took a number of foods out. And every time we took one out, he got better. And it just was a miracle.
That story sounds very familiar.
When I stopped eating gluten, my meltdown stopped.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
Pretty much.
Life has been better.
Life has been better post-gluten. I have a lot of food issues, too, which is part of the reason why this sparked my interest. So this is very close to my heart.
if there really is an increase in food sensitivities among children these days as well.
Or we're just recognizing, like you said, Andrea, that I didn't even realize that with the gluten that can actually, you know, it's not necessarily anaphylaxis. It's not, you know, rashes. It can be a lot of a whole host of other things. What was your reaction to that, or like the first the realization that it was food that was causing these issues?
We were completely surprised. It was amazing. And then also terrified because, mm-hmm. you know, you go from eating everything and not even thinking about it to all of a sudden, hey, you can't eat gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, and more. Mm-hmm. Then what do you do? What do you cook? You can't go out to restaurants. So it was kind of had to get our minds wrapped around that one.
It can be frightening at first. I remember when I learned about like my food sensitivities as well back in my college days and trying to figure out how to do this while on a meal plan at university and how to do that. But food service folks are relatively, I think, fairly accommodating. They recognize that they're there to serve. And so they were accommodating. So how have you gone about, you know, accommodating such a unique, such unique needs when it comes to food, dietary issues and food sensitivities? How have you found that you can make this work for your family and actually thrive?
Sure. Well, the internet is wonderful. I'm able to find a lot of resources and recipes, and now very rarely do I find one that meets our needs specifically because we have so many foods that we're restricted with. But I've learned how to substitute, and so I take the recipes and substitute the ingredients, and it's a lot of trial and error, but eventually I'm able to find something that works and also tastes decent. And then as far as going out and going to parties, you just kind of have to know that you're not normal anymore, and you need to make the proper adjustments. And, you know, there are very few restaurants we can go to, but we make sure we go to those. And when we go to parties, we bring our own food. And I try to find foods that make it special for the kids since they're not able to eat what everybody else can. You know, you try and find really good cookies or fun chicken nuggets or something that we can make that still makes it special for them.
Yeah, it's like it's this whole new world of navigating how to try to be as normal as possible and fit in. Because food, that's one of the biggest things with this, is that food is such a social thing, and having to be different when you're around other people that are enjoying whatever they can enjoy is a very big challenge, especially I would think with children.
Yeah, we didn't realize how much the world revolves around food until we couldn't eat everything that the world ate. But you can still live and still have fun, and it's okay if you have to eat different things.
Absolutely. Is there a specific, well, maybe not one, but is there a recipe that you really enjoy making, or like a combination of foods that you really like putting together?
Yeah, you know, I have a sweet tooth, so anything sweet is great. I have a brownie recipe with frosting that actually tastes like buttercream frosting. Ooh. That I love, and I will give it to people who don't have food allergies, and they love it too. So that kind of has been my favorite. But also, there's also challenges, you know, for breakfast. What do we eat for breakfast? I was able to find a granola recipe that tastes wonderful and is free of everything, including nuts. You know, nuts, food dyes, corn, all of that stuff. And so that's been really helpful too.
Okay, now you've piqued my interest. What is, if it's free of everything, what's in the granola?
Well, it's oats. You have to get gluten-free oats, coconut, honey, coconut oil, and just cinnamon and salt.
Wow. It's amazing how, I was just talking about this with my husband this morning. It's amazing how simple recipes can be so delicious. And like, it blows people's minds when I tell people what I have to eat, and they're like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "No, it's actually really good."
Yeah.
It is.
When I first started trying to find recipes, they all seemed so involved and they needed so many different ingredients, and I couldn't find the ingredients in the store. And I said, "Well, there's got to be an easier way to do this." So that's, all of these recipes are easy. They don't take a lot of work. They don't take a lot of time or shopping. They don't cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing is, yeah, these diets are so expensive because, unfortunately, healthy food is expensive these days. Mm-hmm. So that was my goal with this cookbook, was to find easy, cost-effective recipes.
So you put these tested recipes together. You compiled them in a cookbook for families that face similar food sensitivity issues. And so these are not just approved by you, but approved by your family as well. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you have advice for families who maybe are just starting down this journey or just realizing that their kids have food sensitivities and are kind of feeling in that overwhelmed space? Do you have words of wisdom and advice and encouragement for families who are dealing with that?
It's okay to be overwhelmed. It's going to be very overwhelming, but just take it one step at a time. Pray a lot. God has gotten us through this. You know, like I said, take it one step at a time. And this cookbook is really helpful in taking you through those steps. And I also started a blog where I go over topics like that, like sticker shock, this diet is so expensive, or how do I tell other people? You know, they're going to think I'm crazy. But I thought, I've been through all of this. How can I help other people? Because it is so overwhelming to enter this new world of food restrictions.
It can be, it can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. especially the price point of trying to eat healthier seems overwhelming at first. In our house, we have justified it. We've decided that we can either spend the money on healthier options when it comes to food, shopping the perimeter of the store, sticking with mm-hmm. more produce and things like that, or we can spend the money on long-term prescriptions and things like that to manage our health that way too. So we have aimed for, we try to keep it more on the other side of, mm-hmm. You know, spending that money on healthier food. Have you found that this is, eating this way has improved health for everyone in the family, not just those with food sensitivity issues?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It really, we feel healthier. And like my husband says, whenever he eats junky food, then he feels terrible. So just to show you that healthy mm-hmm. food really does work.
I think my husband said the same thing, because he can eat whatever he wants. Like, the whole store is available to him. But when we had to make our dietary changes for me, he's like, man, I feel so much better now. And like, I've lost weight and I have like more energy. Like, well, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, it really is amazing.
Sorry, not sorry. Well, we'll provide a link for the cookbook. Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, we will.
So you can find some of Andrea's recipes in her handy cookbook. What's the name of the cookbook?
It's Help My Kid Can't Eat Anything.
That's a perfect name for it.
That's how I felt when I wrote it.
But you found some recipes that have worked well for your family and have become tried and true favorites for the family. And thanks for sharing them in your cookbook. Andrea, it's a pleasure to have some time with you on the Coffee Hour today. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're continuing our conversation on the challenges of vocation, moving to fatherhood. Dr. Joel Bierman, just a little bit, wrote a great article in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. Somewhat convicting.
Yeah.
But good stuff. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.